Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
Beautiful people, welcome to this June 10th, 2021 edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I really hope you all out there are having a fantastic home stretch to your week. That's right, it's Thursday. It's Thursday. That means just one more day until Friday, right? And you can enjoy what looks to be a beautiful weekend coming up, folks. I know it's a bit rainy. It's been raining just about, you know, at least once every single day this week, but the weekend looks to be all clear with maybe the exception of what, Saturday. I think Saturday we're supposed to get just a little bit of rain on that day, but not a lot. All right, but thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. And you know what, folks, I also want to give a big shout out to everyone out there who tuned into last night's viewing of COVID Diaries 1 year later. You know, I have the amazing opportunity to actually go to the WKAR studios. No, not the radio studio, but the television studio, actually. And get in touch with my television roots, as I was invited by one of our fantastic producers and directors, Carol Yancho. Love Carol, but she reached out to me to do a pledge hit for WKAR-TV that centered on our program, COVID Diaries, in which we followed a at-home nurse in Rhonda Lee for a few months during the thick of the pandemic. And, you know, it was just truly remarkable just getting the chance to sit down with Rhonda. And we basically, you know, just kind of recapped what took place in the documentary. And it was just so well produced. I want to give a big shout out to our entire team at WKAR for putting together just really one compelling story. And Nicole Zaremba specifically, because I know she was the one in charge of, you know, she's a producer director at WKAR-TV as well, but she was the one primarily in charge of putting together that documentary and reaching out to Rhonda and getting the necessary footage and putting together the story. Just an amazing job. If you haven't seen COVID Diaries, you can watch it on your smartphone, your computer, your tablet, just simply by Google COVID Diaries WKAR, and it should pop right up. But last night it aired on WKAR-TV, and in between, you know, certain parts of it, I sat down with Rhonda and not only asked for your generous donations so that we can continue to do outstanding work like this at WKAR, but I also interviewed Rhonda and talked about, you know, what that experience was like for her, what it was like being a nurse in the thick of the pandemic when we were seeing just astronomical numbers every single day. So many people get infected and so many people dying from this virus called COVID-19. And what was that like for her professionally? What was that like for her personally? You know, Rhonda and her wife, Audrey, they had to isolate. And, you know, at one point in the documentary, you see Rhonda actually moving into what was their dance studio. They're big dance fanatics. And Rhonda had to move into the dance studio just to keep her her wife, Audrey, safe. So, it, you know, those layers of it. And also, as we all know, last year in the midst of a pandemic, we dealt with a pandemic on top of a pandemic, and that pandemic being the killing of black people at the hands of law enforcement. As the video of George Floyd, who had a knee on his neck by then officer Derek Chauvin for over 9 minutes, that led to the unfortunate passing of George Floyd. And that led to many people out there saying, yeah, I understand we're in the midst of COVID right now, but we're going to go out and let our voices be heard, and we're going to protest this because this is upsetting, it's sad, and it needs to stop. And Rhonda, just like every, you know, black person out there that saw that video, it did something to our souls, man, and it enraged us. And also in the documentary, you see Rhonda's reaction to the death of George Floyd, and she gives some very candid thoughts on that video and that moment in our nation's history. So we talked about it all. You know, she also had an aunt that sadly passed away from COVID-19, and that was the pandemic really hitting home for her. So I just want to give a major thanks to Rhonda for agreeing to sit down with me and opening up the way she did, and for, you know, giving us a firsthand look into her life during one of the most challenging parts of her life, in her job professionally and in her life personally. So thank you so much, Rhonda, for opening up and allowing us to tell your story. And Nicole Zaremba did an amazing job putting that thing together. Carol Yancho, a big shout out to Tim Elkins, Ken Mearley, you know, just the entire WKAR team, WKAR TV team, for allowing me to be a part of that. It did something for my soul and you know, getting to meet an incredible, incredible person like Rhonda Lee and her wife, Audrey. It was one of the highlights, of my job, at least, you know, since this whole pandemic hit. So, yeah, so check it out. COVID Diaries, really, really well done stuff. All right. So with that being said, wanted to just address that and start off the show that way. But with that being said, what is cooking on today's current sports? Well, we got a few things that I want to touch upon. Tonight is a very big night for an incredible young woman that we have been following really since the beginning of her career. And I'm talking about combat fighter Clarissa Shields. I call her Flint's favorite daughter, two-time Olympic gold medal champion Clarissa Shields in the sport of boxing. Well, folks, she is pivoting. I shouldn't say from the sport of boxing, because she's still going to box, I'm sure. But she also wants to now get into mixed martial arts. And I'm sure, you know, take this thing the whole way, possibly, and go into UFC. But I think that all depends on what happens tonight. How successful will she be tonight? Because tonight is the night, folks. Clarissa Shields will be making her MMA debut on ESPN2. How exciting is that? That's incredible, incredible stuff. And again, we at WKAR, we've been following her for a long time. And I'm actually going to play an interview that I did with Clarissa right when she got off the plane from overseas from winning her second gold medal in the sport of boxing. This is before she turned professional, and she's the first boxer to ever do that. You know, two-time Olympic gold medal winning champion. That's pretty amazing stuff, right? So she got off the plane, and I was able to steal a bit of her time, as well as I talked with her sister as well. I want to play that interview for you guys for a hint of Throwback Thursday on today's current sports. Okay, so I'll have that later on, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on, you know, the challenges of you know, trying to enter into a different realm of the combat sporting world. We all know how talented Clarissa Shields is in the boxing ring, but the octagon comes with a whole new set of challenges. All right, so I'll dive into that. I also want to touch upon some new news concerning Tom Izzo. At least, you know, he's done a recent interview this week in which he opens up about many different things, including how much longer he plans on coaching in the world of college basketball. And also, he gives some very candid thoughts on his former point guard, Keith Appling, who has been charged with murder, and it isn't looking good. All right, so I'll dive into that. And on the back end of the show, I'm going to touch upon the Tokyo Olympics. Finally, right? I feel like I've been pubbing that conversation for a long, long time, right? And, you know, it's interesting because Tokyo is undergoing a certain surge when it comes to COVID-19, without a doubt. And the Olympics are going to still happen, but there are a ton of rules that Japan is placing on athletes out there. And I want to comb through a bit of those. All right. So a lot to get to. If you would like to be a part of it, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Call that number, leave us a voicemail, and you will hear your voice right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Anything on your sports noggin, you can call and vent about it, all right, or bring up any topic you want. You can also weigh in courtesy of social media. Just simply go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Leave us a comment anywhere there on our Facebook page. And you can weigh in on Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, but you know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Okay, and let's start here. The Detroit Tigers clawed back once in extra innings, but they were beat up for 5 runs in the top of the 11th in a 9-6 Wednesday loss at Comerica Park. It was Seattle's first win over the Tigers in 5 games between the teams this season. Casey Mize allowed 3 runs on 4 hits and 2 walks, striking out 6 batters in his 6 innings. Now, he threw 56 of 99 pitches for strikes. For the 8th start in a row, the 24-year-old carried his team through at least the 5th inning. So not a bad outing for him, but the Tigers do come up short. So the rubber match is actually taking place right now. First pitch was at 1:10 p.m. at Copa. So the Tigers took game 1. Seattle takes game 2 yesterday. We'll see what happens in game 3. All right, Detroit Pistons rookie Sadiq Bey will join Detroit Lions head coach Dan Campbell as a grand marshal for the 2021 Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix. Well, I really hope during that announcement Sadiq Bey didn't put on a Formula One hat or the world would go crazy. Like, really. I mean, I addressed that on yesterday's current sports. Dan Campbell putting on the Formula One helmet and people went nuts. And I'm like, dude, he's just being himself. All right. Take a chill pill. Anyway, Campbell and Bey will split grand marshal duties on Saturday, as Campbell will be the grand marshal on Saturday. And actually, so it's being split up in 2 days. Campbell on Saturday, Bey on Sunday. Now, Bey, who the Pistons picked 19th overall from Villanova, he finished his rookie season averaging a little over 12 points per game and 4.5 rebounds per game. He had a great, great first season. I was very pleased, and I think Sadiq Bey is a great addition to this Detroit Pistons roster. So enjoy being the grand marshal this weekend, Sadiq. That's awesome stuff. All right, this is a very heavy story And if you haven't heard, the son of legendary Michigan football coach Bo Schembechler, he will share with the public today that he is among those sexually abused by former team doctor, well, excuse me, not team doctor, but former doctor at Michigan, Robert Anderson. And he will tell the world about his father's, quote, failure to protect him and other athletes, end quote. That quote directly coming from a news release. So during a news conference today, Matt Schembechler will be joined by his attorney and two former Michigan players to speak about their experiences. Now, according to the news release, Schembechler will, quote, set the record straight regarding his own abuse, end quote. That abuse by, again, former Dr. Robert Anderson, and discuss what his father did and did not do in response. And it's going to be very, very heavy. This is Michigan's own version, I guess, of what occurred here at Michigan State University with Larry Nassar, right? So, Matt, he said that he was, and this is Matt talking to ESPN, Matt, who is 62 years old now, he said he was sexually molested by Anderson when he was 10 years old, within a year of when his adopted father was hired to coach the Wolverines and his family moved to Ann Arbor. Now, Matt said that Anderson touched him in some very private areas, and this is when he visited the doctor for a sports physical prior to joining the Pee Wee football team. And according to Matt, when he shared the details with Bo, the coach told him that he didn't want to hear about it, and then he got physically violent with both Matt and his mother. Quote, that was the first time he closed fist punched me. It knocked me all the way across the kitchen. Pretty powerful statement, right? So, again, Matt, he plans to address his claims further in a news conference this afternoon alongside two former Michigan football players who say they also attempted to warn Bo Schembechler about Anderson's abuse. Anderson and Bo Schembechler both died years before any claims about these issues became public, which is a bit unfortunate because you want to see any claims made like this. You know, you want to see that individual or those individuals. You want to see them face the music, just like Larry Nassar had to. And that's why he'll be behind bars. You know, there's some kind of comfort, I guess, in a way, knowing that Larry Nassar isn't going to see the light of day ever again. And you just really hope, especially those who were the victims of Robert Anderson. You just really hope that you know, he would have faced the music, but hey, he can't now. So a very, very heavy story there, and we'll have more on that story on tomorrow's Current Sports, and you know, we'll recap what a bit of what Matt has to say during this afternoon's press conference. Okay, to less important matters, after dominating the boxing ring, both as an amateur and professional, as I mentioned, Flint native Clarissa Shields, Flint's favorite daughter, set to make her debut in the world of mixed martial arts. She is set to face off against Brittany Elkin in a Professional Fighters League regular season card tonight at 10 p.m. at the UFC Apex out in Las Vegas, Nevada. You can catch it on ESPN2, so this isn't pay-per-view where you gotta, you know, shell out some money like some of you guys did for that Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul match on Sunday night. It's free ESPN, well, free for those who have cable, ESPN2 tonight at 10 p.m. Shields is a two-time Olympic gold medalist, and I guess you can't say free because you got cable, you're paying for it. But you get my drift, all right? Shields is a two-time Olympic gold medalist. Nothing in this world is free, right? Having been crowned champion at the London and Rio de Janeiro Games. She is also credited by some as the best female pound-for-pound boxer, having won professional world titles in three different weight classes and combined four major lightweight middleweight championships this past March. So Brittany Elkin is 3-6 in her MMA career and has fought both in the PFL and Bellator. So she is fighting a young woman who has experience. And again, this is Shield's first time ever being in the octagon professionally. So I have more on that story in just a moment, and you'll get my prediction on how I believe Clarissa Shields will fare tonight. All right, for USA Basketball, the last stop before the Tokyo Olympics will be in Las Vegas. The men's and women's national teams will hold training camps in Las Vegas come next month in July. They announced that today, and they'll be playing seven exhibitions there against other Olympic-bound national teams as well. So they'll be warming up out there. USA Basketball will open its men's training camp, led by San Antonio Spurs legend Greg Popovich, in Las Vegas on July 6th, so right after the July 4th holiday. The Olympic men's teams from Australia, Nigeria, Argentina, and reigning basketball World Cup champion Spain will also be spending some time in Las Vegas. Argentina will start its training camp there this month, and we all know international basketball has come a long way, and no longer are they just kind of like, you look at them and say, well, they're not as superior as USA Hoops. Well, if you just look over the years now of all of the international talent that has come to America and done really well in the sport of basketball, it's pretty amazing. It truly is an international game now, and the U.S. has to bring it or they will be clowned. Simple as that. Because they have been clowned in the past for losing to teams like Argentina, teams like Spain, right? These are all talented squads. I mean, just look at, players like, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Look at Luka Doncic. Look at the reigning MVP now. Just named MVP just days ago. Nikola Jokic, right? The Joker. Just amazing talent overseas, so USA Basketball has to bring it. And we'll see if LeBron James sticks to his word. I think he will. I do not believe that LeBron James is going to go after a gold medal this summer in the Tokyo Olympics. He made that pretty clear during his post-game press conference when the LA Lakers were eliminated by the Phoenix Suns. So, all right. And speaking of LeBron James, a misunderstood question on a streaming broadcast has cost Miami Heat president Pat Riley $25,000. Now, that's a drop in the bucket for Pat Riley. But Riley was on a 24-hour streaming event hosted by Dan Le Batard and was asked about his comment, would he, quote, leave a key out, end quote, for Dwayne Wade if the new part-time owner of the Utah Jazz wanted to come back to the Heat fold. As we all know, Dwayne Wade is a part owner now of the Utah Jazz. It was really cool seeing them the other day during game one of the Utah Jazz and LA Clippers series, sitting front row with his wife, Gabrielle Union. And he was kind of like, he was high-fiving fans anytime Utah scored. Really awesome to see that. But he's also like a coach manager, right? Did you see the moment between him and Donovan Mitchell on the sidelines? And when he's telling Donovan something, I don't know, and Donovan's like, I got you. So interesting there. Riley, he misunderstood the question and thought it was about active player LeBron James, not Dwayne Wade. And his answer is very long, but this is what a bit of what he said when asked about Dwayne Wade, who he thought Dan was talking about LeBron James. Quote, I would leave the key under the doormat if he would call me and let me know that he's coming. I would do that, but I doubt very much that key is rusted now. That's a bit of what Riley said. And he goes on and on and on and talks about, you know, the relationship that LeBron James has with the franchise and the things that LeBron has gone on to do and so on and so forth. But, yeah, LeBron James is an active player in the NBA. He's not like Dwayne Wade, who is retired now and enjoying retirement. He's a broadcaster. He's again, part owner of the Utah Jazz. And, heck, he even has his own game show now. Did you see that? Now, that will be premiering very soon. I think it's called The Box or something like that. But Dwayne Wade is fully retired, so he could have talked about Dwayne Wade, but he thought the question was about LeBron James. When it wasn't, LeBron's still playing. That's tampering. $25,000 out of your wallet, but you're Pat Riley. That's like a dollar, okay? So there you have that. And speaking of the NBA, we just had just one game in both the NBA and the NHL playoffs last night. In the NBA, the Phoenix Suns took a 2-0 series lead over the Denver Nuggets, a 123-98 final. Nikola Jokic, the Joker, again, MVP of the league, he had 24 points, 13 rebounds, 6 assists, so a double-double for him, and just 4 assists away from a triple-double. But the Phoenix Suns, and I think this is really like the story of the NBA playoffs so far, how good Chris Paul is playing the point guard position on the back nine of his career. It's just remarkable. You know, I've had two conversations since the Phoenix Suns eliminated the LA Lakers, and since now they've taken this 2-0 series lead over the Denver Nuggets, and I've had two conversations about Chris Paul's placement in the lore of greatest NBA point guards of all time. And I believe that if Chris Paul wins a championship this year with the Phoenix Suns, you got to put him in the top 5 point guards of all time. You just have to. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. There's no debate about that. Now, if he doesn't win a championship this year or at any point in his career, I still think you can have the conversation at least. I still think he's a top 10 point guard. I really do believe that. And right now, okay, let's just say if Chris Paul wins a championship, I'm going number 1 Magic Johnson. I'm going number 2 Steph Curry. I'm going number 3 Oscar Robertson. Number 4 the great Isaiah Thomas. And number 5 Chris Paul. That's how my list looks if Chris Paul wins a championship. If he doesn't, then you can debate about that 5 spot. And there's some other names I may bring up that may trump him. But Chris Paul is just unreal right now. This dude is special. One of the greatest leaders this game has ever seen. And he is putting on a clinic right now. Any young basketball player out there listening to current sports right now, if you want to know how to play the point guard position, if you're playing point guard, you know, in your youth league right now, or if you're in middle school or high school and you want to know how to play the position better, just watch film and watch every game that Chris Paul is playing this season. Just he's thinking on a different level. All right. Okay. And in the NHL playoffs, the New York Islanders topped the Boston Bruins last night, 6-2, the final there. And the Islanders move on, win that series 4-2. So congrats to the Islanders there. All right. So I want to hit our first break. When we come back, I want to dive more into tonight's MMA debut, Clarissa Shields. Exciting, exciting stuff. And we'll have a throwback chat with Clarissa after she got off the plane and won that second Olympic gold medal and made history then. And I'll give you my prediction on what I believe she will do tonight. Okay. And also, Tom Izzo, I have further thoughts on his comments. He has no plans to retire, no plans at all to retire, at least in recent years. And also he comments on just the really, really tough chapter of seeing his former player, former point guard, and Keith Appling being charged with murder. That and more you are listening to the Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Mm-hmm. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And, folks, tonight is the night. Flint's favorite daughter, Clarissa Shields, will be making her mixed martial arts debut tonight at 10 p.m. on ESPN2. And it's pretty wild, right? Because, you know, Clarissa Shields, the famed boxer that she is, you know, still hasn't gotten a ton of traction. Don't get me wrong. She's gotten a lot of traction. She's gotten a lot of sponsorship deals. And already, I mean, you can make the case that she may be the greatest female boxer of all time. You can already make that case, and she's only 26 years old. But the thing is, when it comes to female boxing, it's just not really that popular of a sport. You know, male boxing dominates the headlines, and also mixed martial arts, and the UFC in particular, those are the two popular entities. And I think I can make the argument right now, and I knew this was coming. I knew we would see it one day, just because the sport of boxing is lacking a lot of great heavyweights and a lot of big personalities like a Floyd Mayweather, right? We just don't see that a lot. I knew that UFC would be charging and challenging the popularity of boxing. And right now, I think just UFC kind of has a bit of the upper hand. I enjoy watching UFC more than I do boxing now. You know, I hate to admit that because, look, I grew up, you know, alongside my grandfather sitting on the couch every Saturday night, you know, before we had to wake up very early for church the next morning. But my grandfather and I have fond memories of us sitting on the couch, you know, on a Saturday night, eating popcorn and chips and soda, watching whatever the slate was that night on HBO Boxing, whatever the slate was on Showtime, and watching my grandfather. I really enjoyed him just sitting there kind of bobbing and weaving his head like he was actually fighting in the ring, all right? I have very fond memories of that. But now UFC is taking over, and I think if my grandfather was alive today, he would be all in on the UFC. I have no doubt about it, all right? But, you know, when it comes to female combat sports, when you look at female boxing in comparison to female mixed martial arts, oh, it's not even close. Like combat sports, female combat sports live in UFC right now, live in mixed martial arts. So I think this was a business decision for Clarissa. You know, she could stay and continue dominating in boxing. I think she will continue to box. Don't get me wrong, because, you know, that's where her bread is buttered right now. I mean, that's where she's really dominant. But the octagon is a different world, man. It really is. You know, I had this debate with my good friend Will, who is a boxing fanatic, and he thinks that her transition to the world of mixed martial arts is going to be relatively seamless. And I don't know. You know, Clarissa has never been beaten professionally. And look, it's normal for a UFC fighter to have, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 losses on his or her record, because that's just the nature of the sport. You don't see fighters go undefeated throughout their entire careers in the world of UFC. There's too many variables there. You know, in boxing, you it's the sweet science, but you don't have to go to the ground and grapple and use all of these different fighting techniques. I'm not trying to discredit how difficult the sport of boxing is. I'm not saying that. You know, it's a sweet science. You know, there are different stances, you know, there are different techniques that you have to use in the world of boxing. Boxing is a war, don't get me wrong. But in the world of UFC, you're taking the sport of boxing as well, and you're implementing that with Muay Thai, with, you know, jiu-jitsu, with kendo, with all of these different other art forms of combat fighting, and you're putting them all into a pot. And every fighter that you face is, you know, has mastered a different realm of fighting. It's just different, man. It just is. So I don't know. I just want to see her tonight and see what happens. I know she's been training with who many consider to be the greatest UFC fighter of all time in John Jones, John Bones Jones. And that's good. You want to, you know, in order to be one of the best, you got to train with one of the best. And Bones Jones is certainly one of those guys, right? And she's fighting a veteran fighter in Brittany Elkin who has experience. So this will headline the Professional Fighters League card on ESPN2. And you know, a lot of people are hyped about it. You know, Chief Executive Officer, Peter Murray, he's calling it an epic night for his league. And, you know, and this is a bout that a lot of people are anticipating because, you know, Shields has dominated the world of boxing. So, and look, she, back in March, this is the thing about Shields. She is dominating. I think especially in combat sports, you always want something to challenge you, right? You always want to be pushed. You're looking for that challenge or else you get bored. And especially, you know, you're looking for the most lucrative deal for you as a fighter. You know, you want to make a lot of money. And Shields, I think, sitting over there in the square ring is sitting looking at things and saying, okay, I'm doing my thing over here. But look at how much money and how much attention these women in UFC and in mixed martial arts are getting. I mean, they're pubbed everywhere. I mean, you don't see a lot of pub when it comes to female boxing. So she, back in March, became the first boxer, male or female, to be an undisputed champion in two weight divisions and trying to make an even bigger leap. And, you know, she actually signed a 3-year contract with the PFL in December. And, you know, she flirted with the idea of trying MMA for like the last couple of years. And, you know, preliminary talks with, you know, UFC seemed to focus more on a single pay-per-view bout against a high-profile opponent. And Shields said that she's more interested in giving this new career path a fair shot. Instead of just, so she went to the UFC and they basically said that, all right, we'll book you one fight against a big name. All right, big payday for you, but it's just one fight. It's not a long-term contract. And Shields is really trying to put her all into this. And she wants to perfect her craft over time. So she looked at the PFL and they said, all right, we'll sign you to 3 years. And you got 3 years to really hone who you are as a mixed martial artist and really focus on it instead of just maybe being one and done, depending on what would happen in that one fight in the UFC. Turned that down and went PFL. I thought that was a smart move. She went on to say, quote, if any boxer wants to come into MMA and think they don't have to train any of the other arts, those boxers will always lose. Happily, I'm not one of those boxers. She took the thoughts right out of my head, right? There you go. If you think that you're just going to come from boxing and enter the octagon and have success, that's not going to happen. Boxing trains you in one aspect of combat sports. You're on your 2 feet the entire time, and it's just you and the sweet science going against this opponent who's also, you know, trying to master the sweet science that is boxing. Just your arms. In the world of MMA, you're dealing with so many different forms of the arts in combat sports. So Clarissa is taking this serious. She is undefeated in her professional boxing career, 11-0, two knockouts out of those 11 fights. And that's since turning pro following the 2016 Rio Olympics. So this is big, man. And you know, as far as a prediction, oh, man, you know what? I can't go against my girl, you know, because Clarissa, it just, I've had such a fun time covering her, and I know how hard she works. I think she is taking this serious, and I think because she takes it so serious, because she trains so ferociously, because she is such a professional, she's going to find a way to win this fight tonight. I think it goes the distance. I think it goes the distance, and Shields will win by judge's decision. That's what I'm going with here. And again, she's fighting a veteran in Brittany Elkin. Brittany Elkin is a fighter who has fights under her belt. You know, she's fought before. I mentioned how she's 3-6, and you know, she's nothing to play with. You know, she's 6 feet, 155 pounds, 3-6-0, and this isn't going to. And you know, so she has a reach advantage on Clarissa because Clarissa is 5'8". They both are you know, fighting at a clip of 155 here. I just think that, you know, Clarissa's toughness is going to somehow allow her to pull this thing off. So, hey, we'll see what happens. But tonight in Atlantic City, New Jersey, 10 p.m. on ESPN2, should be fun, man. Should be fun. And you know, when it comes to Brittany, I believe she's coming off a 3-match losing streak, actually. So, yeah, she's going to be hungry. It's going to be a fun night. I'm looking forward to it. So in honor of Clarissa's MMA debut, what I want to do is actually turn back the clock to, 2016, September of 2016, actually, when she had just gotten off the plane, returning from Rio de Janeiro to her hometown of Flint, Michigan. Actually, this is late August of that year, after becoming the first American boxer, male or female, to win back-to-back gold medals at the Olympic Games. That's what it is, to win back-to-back gold medals. First ever boxer to do that. So she came back to Bishop International Airport. She was welcomed by her friends, family, dignitaries. You know, Mayor of Flint is there. All of these fans are there going crazy over her. And I got the chance to, after she addressed the crowd there, I got the chance to interview her amongst the media scrum that was that day. And Clarissa and I, we actually even took a photo and talked a bit, you know, away from the camera. Just so, you know, she talks a lot of mess, but you got to as a fighter. You got to have that confidence in you, and you got to be able to sell a fight. And Clarissa knows how to do that. But away from the camera, she's a sweetheart. She really is. But here is that piece. I hope you guys enjoy this look back.
The two-time back-to-back women's Olympic gold medal champion. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Direct from Rio de Janeiro, none other than Miss Clarissa Shields.
Just a kid from Flint? Well, it's safe to say she's a bit more than that now, returning from Rio to her hometown here in Flint, Michigan, making history as the very first American boxer, male or female, to win back-to-back gold medals. And just in case you doubt just how good she is, she holds no punches in letting you know.
When I say two-time, y'all say champ. Two-time.
Champ.
Two-time.
Champ.
When I say two-time, you say champ. Two-time.
Champ.
Two-time.
Champ.
Okay.
What separates you from the average boxer?
Hard work. Hard work and belief. You know, I know that if a girl can beat me, she can't beat me in God. I know that for a fact. And I just go in there and I just tuck my chin and I let my hands go. That's it.
Really, to me, she's the best, and can't nobody take that from her because she work hard every day. She do what she needs to do every day. For the last 4 years, she trained every day to get this. Before this, it was 6 years she trained to get this, and now she got what she deserved.
She mentioned up there how there was a four-month period where she did not see you guys.
I moved out of Flint last year to Colorado Springs, and I haven't seen my mom in 3 months, and I just seen her today.
Stuff. It was pretty tough on me, but I saw it on video cam and stuff like that.
Right. What'd you guys talk about when you guys did talk when she was away?
Make sure I get here and don't miss out. Instead of trouble.
Yeah, I cussed her out for not coming to see me.
But at the same time, she was training to compete in the Olympics.
I understood, but you know what I'm saying? I was mad.
But it paid off, right?
It paid off, man.
You want to turn professionally. I know that's down the pike. You don't know if you want to do it now. I know. At the same time, do you feel an obligation to grow the sport of female boxing? And what's it going to take to grow the sport?
Well, it's going to take great female boxers to grow the sport. And how we're going to push the sport is, one, us being great fighters and fighting on TV, but then also bringing other women to fight also.
Of course, she's getting a lot of attention now. Do you guys feel as the family an obligation to make sure she's grounded?
What that mean?
To keep her humble.
In a way.
She keep me humble. She keep me calm. God said good things come to those who wait, And I've been waiting and working hard for a very long time.
How awesome. How awesome was that, right? All right, folks, let's hit our final break. When I come back, I want to tell you a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say this week concerning whether or not he will continue to coach college basketball for a long time in the midst of all of these legends deciding to call it a career like Roy Williams and Coach Mike Krzyzewski. And also, I'll dive into a bit of the Tokyo Olympics, which is placing a lot of rules on the athletes. All right, that and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We are now in the home stretch of today's show. And, you know, Tom Izzo, your coach, your famed Michigan State men's basketball coach, he talked this week to the media, and he addressed many different things. And one of the things that he did address, and we've been talking about this for the last now week and a half, after we heard the news of Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski, Hall of Fame basketball coach for the Duke Blue Devils, stepping down, as well as North Carolina's Roy Williams, famed coach for the Tar Heels, announcing his immediate retirement following the 2020-2021 season. How much longer is Tom Izzo going to do this thing? You know, will he fall on the Williams side of things when he hangs up his clipboard and say, hey, I'm just, when he does it, I'm just leaving? Well, he opened up to 97.1 The Ticket and said, quote, when I do it, I'm just leaving. I'm just leaving. So, end quote. So I guess that means that, you know, it's not going to be some kind of swan song for him, like, you know, like Coach K will get, where every college basketball venue he goes to, knowing that this will be his final year, there's going to be some kind of salute to him. He may just do it like Roy. After a season, it's going to be speculation whether or not he'll come back. Then he just says, I'm done. You know, not going to be some kind of swan song season. So, quote, it's interesting, guys, because you get asked those questions and I say, heck, Coach K got 8-9 years on me, so I've got plenty of time. And that is very, very true. I mean, when you look at Coach K and him deciding to retire, and by the way, I mean, Mike Krzyzewski, I mean, what does this dude eat on a regular basis? What is his diet? What is his workout plan? Because he doesn't look 74 years old. He looks like he's in his 50s, man, if that, maybe 40s. I may even go lower. I mean, he looks really good, but he's 74 years old, and, you know, Tom Izzo is, you know, in his late 60s right now. You know, Tom Izzo is 66, so his mid-60s, excuse me. I'm sorry, Tom. so, yeah, I mean, if you judge it based on that, I mean, Izzo's got some time, right? He's got some time. So I think, you know, that was funny. Also, he says, quote, that day I don't feel like taking red eyes from Vegas to Orlando, or the day I don't enjoy what I do. I mean, I love my job. It's a little leery of where our profession is going right now, but I do love my job. I really got a good group academically, athletically, and basketball wise. So we're going to see. I'm excited to still try to get that elusive second championship. That's what the goal is. So Izzo has no plans of retiring, at least in the coming years. But I said, I still may stick with this. I think that these new rule changes when it comes to the transfer portal, right, and also the new name, image, and likeness rules that will come into effect that will play a major role, I believe, in recruiting, that may turn Izzo away. And he may say, look, man, I'm getting no younger here. I want to spend more time with my family. I'm out. I still stand by that. 3 to 5 years, Izzo will be calling it a career. All right. Okay. And before I leave you guys, Izzo also commented on Keith Abling, who has just had a rough go, to say the least, away from the basketball court. And this latest chapter is not great. He has been charged with first-degree murder. Izzo, who has tried many times to help Keith Abling, he says, quote, I'm trying to reserve trying not to do what the world does and make him guilty until he's proven innocent. And yet everything I hear, it's not great. He goes on and say, quote, I hope and pray to God that it's not true, but I have no knowledge of anything except that I was trying to help him get back on track, as were more than a few other people. There's Izzo on Keith Appling. I don't need to expound upon those comments anymore. They really speak for themselves. And, you know, if you want to hear my long take on Keith Appling and what really has led to this unfortunate chapter in his life, just simply go to WKAR.org, hit radio, go down to the current sports tab, and find the show with Keith Appling's face on it, and that's where I really give my unfiltered thoughts. All right, we're out of time though. I always do this. I'm putting the Olympics on in segment A tomorrow. I promise you guys. I want to dive into the Tokyo Olympics and talk about the amount of rules that the athletes will have to follow when being out there. Till then, though, I want you all to be smart, be safe, and as always, be easy, people.